We're turning in God's Word again this morning to Matthew chapter 5, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, please, in your Bibles. And we're going to be reading the first five verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Let's hear the Word of God. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his word for his name's sake. Please bow now your head with me for a moment. Let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast promised to be the helper of the helpless, the strength of those that are weak. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt give all the spiritual, mental, and physical strength that is now needed for the preaching of the gospel and for the hearing of thy truth. Take away tiredness from mind and body. Grant, Lord, that there will be a refreshing season around the word of the Lord. We pray for abounding grace through Christ. We ask thee, our God, that thou wilt do exceeding abundantly above all that we asked or think for this morning. Let not one leave here today without knowing the Lord has spoken to them. Thou dost see us, Lord, in all of our need. And I pray that thou wilt take this clay vessel, fill it with the glorious gospel, put words in my mouth that are pleasing to thee. Help me to be a speaker to these people for thee this day. May the message be clear and plain. Save, Lord, from any hemming and hawing. Save, Lord, from anything confusing. Grant to thy servant clarity of thought, readiness of mind and heart to say, Thus saith the Lord. And our Father, we ask for refreshing from the time in thy house this day. Bring us afresh to Christ, we ask thee. In his name we pray it. Amen and amen. The disciples who were gathered together around the Lord Jesus Christ would still have been dumbfounded from his last remark when he uttered yet another astonishing statement. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What seems so commonplace to us, so well known, would have surprised these disciples. Christ has just turned their notion of what constitutes a man who is blessed on its head. It's not those who are wealthy that are really happy, but those who are poor in spirit. It's not those who are all for mirth and laughter who are really happy, but it's those who mourn. And now he brings up another mark, another characteristic of those who are truly blessed. They are meek. And that remark would have blown them away, to use modern day jargon. The reason for that, they inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth. Now, you have to keep in mind why this last assertion would have sort of upset their proverbial apple carts. The Jews of Christ's day, as I have pointed out, I know on numerous occasions from this pulpit, had a serious misunderstanding of certain Old Testament passages of Scripture about the coming kingdom of Messiah. They expected it to be a material kingdom as well as a military kingdom. So this mention of the inheritance of the earth being the gift of the meek did not add up in their way of thinking. They believed, you see, that there would be a rebuilding of the military power of Israel that would crush, subdue the Roman Empire whom they despised. In other words, if that was the case, it would be those who were strong and powerful and aggressive who should inherit the earth, who should be the victors, not the meek. But now the Lord says it is the meek of all people who are going to have this prize. I say again, I think they would have been sitting there in utter astonishment at hearing those words from the lips of Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As we come to this third beatitude, I want by way of introduction to look at its relationship to the other beatitudes we've covered so far. Perhaps you've begun to see that these beatitudes were not given in just any old order. Rather, you will find that each beatitude suggests one and leads to the next. For instance, the first beatitude confronts us with our own spiritual poverty and our own inability to satisfy the demands of God's moral law. When a man is brought face to face with God, when the Holy Ghost opens up his eyes, he sees that he is altogether undone, that he has nothing in himself and of himself to please God and to satisfy God's just demands. He is poor. He is poor in spirit. And that realization that reveals that bankruptcy, it moves us, you see, to mourn over our sin and to mourn our powerlessness. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But then the Lord says something that is even more searching. Blessed are the meek. I want you to carefully note how the focus now begins to shift a little in these Beatitudes. Did you pick it up? Did you pick it up? Christ now comes to a mark, a characteristic of the Christian life that concerns other people. You see, it is one thing to see our nothingness, our spiritual poverty in light of the demands of the law of God, and it is one thing to mourn over those things and confess how ugly they are and how they drag us down and how we need to repent of those things, but it's much more difficult to allow other people to say things like that about us. It's okay if we do it. It's okay if we list our faults. If we list our sins and our weaknesses. It's okay if we say, I am bankrupt. It's okay if we say that I am mourning over all my iniquities and my failures. But don't let somebody else do it. It's okay if we condemn ourselves, but heaven forbid if somebody else condemns us. You see, so far we have been looking in these first two Beatitudes, we've been looking at ourselves. Now, in this Beatitude, we're faced with our relationship to others. Because meekness is all about us and somebody else. Our reaction, our responses to others. The world says that it is the man who stands up and fights for what he wants to get. It is the man who asserts himself, who is aggressive. This is the kind of man who is really happy. This is the kind of man who is blessed. But Christ says just the opposite. The man who conquers the world, he says, Christ says, is the man who is meek. The one who inherits the earth is the one who is meek. The man who has the real happiness is the man who is meek in spirit. But, what kind of man is that? What kind of woman is that? Why must believers be characterized by meekness? Why will they be characterized by meekness? Why? And how can we obtain? How do we obtain this meekness when our response to people and what they say to us and do to us seems to be one of complete instinct? This morning I want to begin, I only say begin, to look at the blessedness of the meek. There are three parts that will break down this message. I will only get to one of them this morning. The first is the nature of meekness. Then I will look at next the necessity of meekness, and then finally the nurturing of meekness. Today I only want us to consider for a few moments the nature of meekness. What in the world is Jesus Christ saying here is going to characterize the people of God? Blessed are the meek. These are all about people who are in the kingdom. This is all about people who are in the kingdom of Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The nature of biblical meekness. Remember, please, that these are characteristics that will be found to one degree or another in those that are in the kingdom of God. You're not going to find this kind of meekness amongst the lost. I say that because, as we read this morning, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is meekness. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is only found in those who possess the Holy Ghost. There may be, and we'll talk about this in a moment, there may be many things that people confuse with meekness. But that's not what Christ means here. It's not what the Scriptures mean when it refers to meekness. Christ says that not only are they poor in spirit, and not only do the blessed mourn over their sins, but they are meek. The word used in the original text, meek or meekness, simply means gentleness or mildness. That's the denotative meaning of the word. Gentleness. Mildness. If that were all we were to understand by the use of the word in the Scriptures, we would have a very limited understanding of its meaning. Dictionary definitions don't always do the trick, you see. You've got to take the word and put it in its usage to find out the full meaning of the word. I say this for two reasons. First, these characteristics of the Christian life are not, that are being set down in these Beatitudes, are not natural to man. They're supernatural. They're not natural. You don't come by them naturally. You don't come by meekness naturally. These marks are the result of the divine grace of God in the life, the product of the Holy Ghost being at work in your life. And to the degree that the Holy Ghost is at work in your life and in mine is the degree that we bear this fruit to its quantity as far as that's concerned. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's the breakdown that Christ used in John chapter 15 when he refers to abiding in the vine. All right. Now, when Christ speaks of meekness in this text, he is obviously not referring to people who are naturally of a mild and gentle disposition. There are plenty of people out there who are as lost can be, who have a mild and gentle disposition. They don't possess the Holy Ghost, but they're just gentle. They're gentle in their personality. They're mild in their behavior around people. These are graces that will be found in every believer's life, regardless of their personality that God gave them at birth. There are scores of Christians who are not naturally of a mild and gentle disposition. You know any? They're just not gentle. They are as rough as they come. They are boisterous. They're very aggressive. They're very vocal. They're very quick to tell you what they think. And that's how they've been all their life. And folks, I want to tell you something. That's how they will always be. Always. That's personality. So if I limit my understanding of what Christ means by meekness to simply mildness, not only will I be in despair if my personality is not of that type, I've got some big time problems, but I am also failing to recognize my dependency on the Holy Ghost to produce these things in my life. If it's me, if it's some kind of alteration I've got to make in my personality, I am in trouble, and you are in trouble if you don't happen to be of a gentle and mild spirit. Of course, everybody in this church is gentle and mild, aren't they? There's a second reason why we must not limit what we are to understand by this word to gentleness and mildness, at least as men view those terms today. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, I am meek. Yet twice during His earthly ministry, He went into the temple. He drove out money changers with a whip and turned over their tables on the floor. You talk about aggressive? Can you imagine the scene? He drove them out of the temple with a whip. He was angry. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Get out of here! And yet He said, I am meek. Consider again His words in His ministry. No one more gentle than Christ. Meekness personified. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, on countless occasions, denounced the religious leaders of His day as fools, blind guides, snakes, hypocrites, whited sepulchers. He called them those names publicly in front of crowds. You religious teachers, you who were in positions of power in Israel's religion, you're liars, you're serpents, you're hypocrites. You're like stinking graves that have white paint painted over them to make you look good. What do you think about that? I am meek. And yet in His perfect meekness, He had no time, no reticence whatsoever about pulling off the masks of the false teachers and the apostates of His day. He named them publicly. You're liars. And yet He was meek. Therefore, I've got to come to a different understanding, per se, of this, and I'll say just in a moment about this word meekness. And that's why I want to first deal with the misunderstanding of meekness, then I'm going to deal with the manifestation of it. First is the misunderstanding of meekness. What it doesn't mean. Meekness is not to be confused with being easygoing. Just because somebody is easygoing does not mean that they are possessing this character of meekness. How many there are who are very easygoing about life and the things that happen to them in life. Their proverbial feathers aren't easily ruffled. They just go with the flow. People can say what they want to say about them. It's just like water off a duck's back. They don't get all riled up with you, you know. They just got this view of life. No big deal. They don't seem to get too upset when life goes all awry for them. They just seem to be carefree. It's sort of this que sera, sera. Whatever will be mentality. That is not to be confused with meekness. Meekness is often misunderstood to mean niceness. Now, there are people, it almost seems that they're born nice. They were nice kids. They were just nice. You know, they didn't give their parents a whole lot of grief. And they're always pleasant. And they always have a smile for you. And they're always very kind. They're just nice. And I've met plenty of lost people like that. In fact, they would put many a Christian to shame with their niceness. They're just pleasant. Don't know a thing about the Lord. They don't know a thing about grace. They don't know anything about being filled with the Holy Ghost or the fruits of the Spirit, but they're just nice. But that's not meekness. It's something that we would do well to pay attention to as Christians, to be nice to people. That's a common courtesy. You know, the lost understand that. It's almost like, you know, spending a month of messages on what's wrong with abortion. It's like a no-brainer. Nice. It's just to be nice. But that's not the fruit of the Spirit, of meekness. And heading the list, meekness is not to be misunderstood as weakness. A meek man is not a weak man. He is not weak-kneed. He is not weak of heart. He is not weak in resolve. A meek man is not going to be a compromiser. Don't confuse that with it. He is not one who wants peace at any price. That's not meekness at all. He is not the man who's afraid of confrontation when confrontation must be made. A meek man is not a coward. He's not this cowering little insipid guy that goes around wringing his hands and just wants to be like this all the time with people. That's not meekness. Christ said, "I am meek." But Christ stood and He spoke when He had to speak and reveal and expose, took a very strong and vocal stand for His kingdom and His gospel. Now, what about the manifestation of meekness? That's what it is, and what is it? There are a number of key words and ideas that come up with in connection with this biblical meekness in the Scriptures. First word that is brought in here is humility. When Christ spoke these words, "I am meek," He then said, "lowly of heart, for I am meek and lowly of heart." The word "lowly" means humble. I am meek and humble of heart. Here is the only place in Scripture where the heart of Christ is actually described with a term. Only here. And the term that's used to describe our Lord's heart is lowly or humble. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul exhorts the Ephesian Christians to walk worthy of their calling with all lowliness and meekness. Note the two terms tied together. Lowliness and meekness. Paul tells the Colossian believers in chapter 3, verse 12, "Put on lowliness of mind, meekness." Look how the Holy Ghost is tying those two words together in the Scriptures. Lowliness and meekness. I really want you to feel the force of all of this. Meekness. You see, biblical meekness, the kind of meekness that inherits the earth, has everything to do with having a right view of who God is and a right view of who you are. And if you don't have that, there won't be meekness. That view is a very humbling one. Very humbling when you see yourself and you see God. Look again at where this beatitude occurs in this set. After a man sees that he's poor in spirit, he's mourning over his spiritual poverty in the face of God, then he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In other words, brothers and sisters, this old rotten thing we call pride is the very antithesis of meekness. If the Holy Ghost in Scripture is linking meekness with humility, with lowliness of mind, with humility of mind and heart, then pride has to be the very antithesis of meekness. A man who has a high view of his abilities, a high view of his intelligence, of his knowledge, is arrogant. And an arrogant man is never a meek man. Never. They will not be found. arrogance and meekness are contrary the one to the other. But it is the man who walks humbly with God, the man, the woman who sees themselves as absolutely nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Their lives are marked by meekness. You want to know who you've got to go to right off the bat to look at? That is Moses. It is said of Moses that he was the meekest man in all the earth. Moses, however, was not weak. By far he was not weak. Read the account of his life and you will find that Moses was very uncompromising. Moses was a very strong man. He wasn't a wimp by any stretch of the imagination. But you will also find that Moses was a man of great humility. And I will tell you something, my brothers and sisters, the first step on the way to a meek spirit is to get a humbling view of yourself in light of a humbling view of God. There's another word associated with meekness in the New Testament. And that word is long-suffering. Again in Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Meekness is sitting in the middle of humbleness of mind and long-suffering. In Ephesians 4:2, again I quoted part of that, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing. This word we can say is but another synonym for meekness. It has the idea of putting up with people and their ways, not avenging yourselves of the wrongs that may be done to you. Consider Moses again. Moses was a mild man. At the same time, Moses could say some very strong things. Moses could be very, very firm and powerful. Doesn't mean he wasn't nice, because he was firm. And certain issues, he was very dogmatic. We've got to get our thinking straightened out with biblical meekness. But his meekness is seen in that he was ready to suffer wrongs done to him and leave the whole matter with God. Yes, the people did him wrong on more than one occasion. It was repetitious. It was over and over and over again. But he was quite content. I'll take the wrong. I'll let God deal with this. There was no vengeance. There was no getting back. There was no resentment. There was no anger. One time in his life, when he got fed up with the people, he struck the rock instead of speaking to it as God told him. But he did it. And Moses, the meekest man, he blew it for a moment. And that cost him. But that was not characteristic of his life. You just read his life and you will find out he was done wrong over and over again. And he left it in God's hands. More than that, Moses pled for those who were doing him wrong. Meekness does not seek vengeance. It does not seek to get your own back. Meekness forgives. Meekness, as much as is humanly possible, forgets about it. Doesn't hold grudges. Why? Because it takes into account the weakness of others, because it's had a proper view of himself. You know, when you have a proper view of yourself, you see yourself as a mass of weakness. Do you not? Do you see yourself as a tower of strength? Do you see yourself as a paragon of what Christians ought to be? Do you see yourself as the great exemplar? Well, people should live like me and talk like me and act like me. I would say one thing, brothers and sisters, if you're honest with yourself and with your God, you would say, I am a mass of weakness. I've got so many things wrong with me, I couldn't begin to sit down and number them all. Therefore, I can understand their problem. I can understand their weakness. Someone has said that meekness is strength. Meekness is strength that accommodates the weakness of others. You find that in a remark made by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Peter says, be clothed with humility. That word clothed means clothed with an apron. Clothed with an apron. In John chapter 13, it's where Christ puts on the apron of a slave and begins to wash their feet. In other words, there is this idea of self-control and meekness, this idea of restraint, self-control and restraint, having the power, having the ability, but pulling back. Having perhaps even the right, because you have been wronged, but you pull back. You seal your lips. You're about ready to let a torrent of words go. To let someone know that they have done you wrong. But meekness, no. I can, but I won't. I can think of no better example than in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ when the temple guards came to Him to bind Him with cords. Here they were binding the hands of their Creator with puny ropes. With one word from His mouth, as a matter of fact, with just two words from His mouth, ego eimi, they fell backwards. We're looking for Jesus. He used that word equivalent with Jehovah in the Old Testament. I am. And they fell backwards to the ground. These puny men, with one word from His lips, destroyed. But He let them bind Him. There's meekness. There's self-control. There's restraint. Having the power, but refusing to use it. But let's bring it down to the level of the common believer in his relationships at home and in your jobs, the workplace, and the church, etc. Perhaps there's somebody that really annoys you at work, at church. Maybe it's one of those times when the spouse is really getting under your skin. Indeed, they may be offensive in what they say and even how they say it to you. How do you respond? How do you? Well, that depends on how far developed this grace of meekness is in your life. And there is no toe dance to get around this. Nothing. It's just a matter of how far developed this grace of meekness is in your life. As far as how you respond in life situations like that. The happy believer is described here as one who will suffer long. Who will put up with the annoyance. You know, you have the right to speak your mind. What they've done is offensive. But there's meekness. Meekness will not try to get its own back. It will not stand up and assert itself and to declare its rights and say, you have no right to speak to me like that. Who do you think you are? Meekness will bite its tongue and say very little, if nothing. It will take the wrong, and it will leave it in the hands of God to deal with it. You understand that does not mean that every time that offense is given to you, that you're supposed to ignore it. There's certain things set down and regulations in the Word of God for dealing with an offending brother. It's not what I'm dealing with. It's this day-to-day running in our lives, at home or at church or at work, wherever it might be. Meekness. I've got a right view of God. I've got a right view, therefore, of myself. Therefore, I'm understanding their weakness. I'm able to put up with it because I know myself too well. And I ought to be very slow, therefore, to get on my high horse and to get in my soapbox and start preaching. Oh, you may have the power to clean their clock, as we say. You might have that ability. You might be able to marshal your words together. They would be so withering, they would be just melted before your powerful words. You may be well able to put them in their place. But because you have the spirit of meekness, you pull back and you control your tongue and you forbear them in love. And such a spirit will go a long, long way in making for a blessed home, a happy home. It will go a long way in making for a happy church. Because we all do have these unique personalities. And we've all got faults and blemishes. And so I like to quote that old man in the back row, "We're all weird, man. We're all weird. We are." But I'll tell you one thing, if you want to know this blessedness, then you want to pray like mad, "Lord, bring this fruit out in my life, just to pull back my tongue and my temper and to bring it under control. I have the power and I may even have the right, but Lord, put your hand on the throttle and just pull it back. Put your hand on the throttle. Because, Lord, I want to take hold of that throttle and just shove it right ahead in full steam. But that's not what's best. Put your hand on the throttle, Lord, of my emotions and of my mind and my thinking, and just pull back." You see, the meek man controls himself because he's not overly sensitive about himself. He's not always on the defensive. And he no longer worries about himself or what other people say about him. He's got a tough hide. He's not one that takes offense easily. And if someone says something that, you know, it's not too endearing, well, you know, the thinking is, you don't know the half of it. Instead of, "Oh, how dare he says that about me." And worrying about what people think about you. I'm not talking about you just throw reputation out the window. You do have a reputation you want to guard. That's not what I'm referring to. Just that. Let them talk. You got to come to a place in your life where you really don't care what people say about you. I leave this in the hands of God. If they don't like me, I wish they did. And we all want that, don't we? We want people to like us. And it bothers us when people don't like us. We don't want to be thought of as being oddballs and weird and strange, where people would rather be out of our company than in our company. We don't want that. But as far as my experience, folks, the people I have enjoyed being around the most in life are people who are marked by meekness. Just pleasant to be around. They're as meek can be. They're not weak, they're very strong. But there is this pulling back. I won't mention certain names because this will go out over the internet, but there's a certain man that comes to my mind and I think back on things that I said to him and I did. I said, "You know, he could have just clobbered me. That was stupid. That was dumb to say that." But he was very gracious with me. Very forbearing. And to this day, he's a joy to be around. Meekness. meek man, he no longer feels he's got to stand up to protect himself, because he's learned, this isn't about me. What have I got to defend myself for? It was John Bunyan who said, he that is down need fear no fall. He that is down need fear no fall. When you see yourself for what you really are, you really won't worry about what men say about you or to you. You will say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. There's another idea with this word of meekness, and that is gentleness. Paul besought the church at Corinth by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. If there was one, in the same line of thought, if there was one word you might say that as people looked upon Christ, upon His ministry, upon His person, if there was one word that would summarize all of that, Christ Jesus was approachable. Approachable. People didn't feel, obviously by His ministry, because the publicans and sinners drew near to hear Him. They loved being in His company. Jesus Christ was not one who by His behavior, who by His words, who by His actions, told people to stay away. I am not interested in you. They loved being around Him. He was so approachable. Publicans and sinners, the worst sorts in society, liked being around Christ. He did not make them feel uncomfortable. They did not feel that the Master, the Messiah, was looking down upon them because of their lifestyle. The Jews hated the publicans, who were Jews turned tax collectors for the Empire of Rome. They hated them big time. But they found Christ wasn't like that. They felt themselves to be accepted in His presence. The harlots would come to Him and to hear what He had to say. He was approachable. Fourthly and finally, teachableness. A meek person is ready to listen and to learn. They have gotten the proper view of themselves and of God, and therefore they don't think for a minute that they have all the answers. Indeed, in some ways, I would put this almost as one of the very first marks of meekness. It is the proud man who imbibes a spirit of self-sufficiency, and no one is going to show him how to do anything because he knows it. But the man, the meek man, has an open ear and an open heart. And the meek man, dear folk, I will tell you, is the one who is ready to hear whatever the Spirit has got to say through the Word. Because there's this teachableness. In Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. The meek will He teach. The best students found sitting at the feet of Christ are the meekest students. They are so teachable. They realize they have so very much to learn. Even when they're old and about to enter the grave, I have so much to learn. Speak, Lord. My ears are open. That is why James speaks of the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom. Meekness. The wise man is the meek man. That's just the idea of what we're aiming at here. That's the nature of meekness. But oh my, there's a necessity for it. That's next Lord's Day. Chew the cud, brothers and sisters. That's the idea behind meditation. Chew the cud. Ponder it. Go over it again and again. Pray God for it. Let's seek His face together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we need Thy help. For Lord, it's not natural for us to be meek. The flesh wars against the whole notion. But Thy Word says the Spirit wars against the flesh. And we pray that Thou would imbue us with that spirit of meekness. We cannot help but think that the Holy Ghost was sent as a dove We pray, Lord, that that would be true of us. That teachableness, that gentleness, that long-suffering. Take away, Lord, the oversensitivity to people's comments. Let not our imaginations run wild. How we pray, Lord, that we as a congregation and as families, wherever we are, would know the happiness that comes with meekness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.